Our reading is coming from Psalm 18, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemies. The cord of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye. If you want to hold him by the hand, that's up to you. It's all good. But look your neighbor square in the eye. And as you look at your neighbor, you're going to say, neighbor,
I am not
ashamed.
Neighbor,
I am not
ashamed.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, I am not ashamed. Now, when we look at the term ashamed, it has a few definitions. And one of the definitions that come out of the term ashamed is being reluctant to do something. Now, as the people of God, the one thing that was a motivation to get us here was that we saw the shame in our sin. And because of the shame in our sin, we realized that something needed to change. And it motivated us to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead so that you and I could be saved. But the concern that happens to some of us, we say we are not ashamed, but how many of us are truly sharing the word of God? How many of us go outside the church and let folk know I'm a child of God? Now, I'm not talking about you just, everybody you see, hey, I'm a child of God. Sometimes folk ain't gonna handle that. But what I'm saying is that through our daily interaction with people, how often does the name of Jesus come up? How often are we letting folk know that I love God because God first loved me? How many of us are in church, even sitting here right now, ashamed? Ashamed because of the fact that, Lord, I'm just glad to be saved because I know the hell raiser I used to be. Lord, I'm just glad to be saved because of X, Y, and Z. So now that I'm in church, I'm glad to be here. But there is a restriction on what I do because I'm ashamed of what I had done. There's a restriction on what I do because of the shame of what I had done. Now, think about this. If the Lord wanted you to feel ashamed about what you have done, then why did he send Jesus? Jesus came for us to be able to make a transition. A transition in how we live our lives. A transition in not being beat down by sin. A transition of realizing that what I did on yesterday does not have to predict and control my today. We have to understand, Sister Jennifer, that God did what he did because he wasn't ashamed of us. And if he did it for us because he wasn't ashamed of us, then how can we sit here waddling in our shame and say we love Jesus if Jesus came to deliver us? But I want you to know, you're not alone. You know, when we look at this particular psalm, where they say it was penned by David. That's right. Whether it was penned by him or not, we know that the reality is that this psalm is talking about who David is. You know, as I look, if I was a psychologist and if I can just take some psychological thoughts right now. Reverend Rhodes, when we go back and we look at David, David was the eighth son of Jesse. And him being the youngest, I don't know if it was because he was the youngest or maybe he was just the rut of the litter and we just let him be the one that just take care of the sheep. Maybe we don't think he's capable of doing anything but taking care of the sheep. Well, I truly believe that Sister Fee, that his father did not hold him in high esteem. The reason why I come to that conclusion is because when Samuel came and told him he was going to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king of Israel, he brought seven, not eight. The one he didn't bring, he left him out in the field, thinking that that is not the one who God wants. And since that's not the one God wants, then there's no reason for me to call him in because I got seven. And of these seven, I know God's going to want one of them. Some of us are like David. It seems like we've been on the outside so long. We don't know what it's like to come in. And even now that we're on the inside, we still feel like we're on the outside. Oh, see, somebody's working with me. You see, so as we look at David, and then finally, lo and behold, Samuel says, wait a minute, is this all your sons? Nah, I got that one watching the sheep. Well, we ain't going nowhere or doing nothing else until you bring them. And Deacon Booth, that's the one who God had anointed to be the next great king of Israel. It was the thing that God was starting to do with a young man who father felt not, who didn't think very highly of him because he didn't bring him out initially. And now what we see happening here is that David's transition, because once he now has that anointing, we see that he is the one who fights against the giant, defeats the giant, where the mighty warriors of Israel were running or ashamed to face him because they felt they couldn't beat Goliath. Here comes this one, the runt of the litter, being brought to the forefront because the anointing of God was on him, and he defeats Goliath. Then he becomes one of the commanders in the army of Saul, who was king of Israel at that time. And every time they come back from battle, they say, Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his 10,000. You know, after a while, Brother Botts, Saul wasn't liking that. Because of the fact that he had a commander getting more praise than he was getting as king. So he was now put up the most wanted sign, saying that I'm going to kill this man, David. And now David is on the run, runs, and we're seeing that he had ran and had ended up with a ragtag bunch of about 600, hid in cave and had opportunity to kill Saul, said I can't touch God's anointed, had an opportunity to come into his camp to kill him, but said I can't kill God's anointed, I can't put myself in place of God because God is the one who is in control. And then we see he rises to power to first become the king of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin for 7 years. And then he rises a little higher and becomes king of all Israel and becomes a king of all Israel for 33 years. And over that time, he had done some great things. But then he had this one mistake. Sent folk out to battle in the spring. But you know what, Deacon Alex, he stayed home. Was walking along on his balcony. Had a situation. Temptation got him. He grabbed it and he did something wrong. And after that, we're seeing that it seemed like all hell broke loose. All of a sudden, his son Absalom now wants to take reign and become king and fights against him. And now David is on the run again. David had to face death in a few situations, but we see that God prevailed. And now that David is at a point in his life where he is reflecting over all that the Lord has done, will do, and will continue to do. And what we see here in this particular psalm is David giving us a reflection, or he's reviewing and looking back over all that God has done. And you can see this entire psalm, minus one verse, in 2 Samuel chapter 22. The entire psalm is there, minus one verse. Now, you want me to show you the verse that's missing? Verse number one. He says in verse number one, I love you, O Lord, my God. Do you see what David is saying? You got to understand that David is the king with the little king. And he is letting the King of Kings know with the big king that I love you. We have to see the significance of what David is saying. Now, David being king has people bowing down to him, or could have people bowing down to him, could have people just worshiping him. But he says, it's not about me. It's about the one whom I love. I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. Do you understand that David realized that he couldn't have the strength to raise his hand unless God blessed him? He wouldn't have the strength to survive this long if the Lord hadn't blessed him. The Lord is the one that gave him strength to do all that he did, and he was not going to put himself in the position of having folk to get it twisted and think that it's about him and not about God. He was letting folk know, I'm not ashamed to let it be known that I love the Lord, because the Lord is the one who is my strength. You see, and once he says this, what he now is going to do is to explain to us. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, I mean the whole psalm, but we pulled out the first six verses. Explain to us why he's letting us know he loves God. Because when you look at verse number two, he says there, the Lord is my what? Rock, fortress, and my deliverer. We got to stop there for a second. He's my rock, which means he is the foundation that I stand on. He is my fortress, because whatever comes to try to take me down, God has already blocked it. And when I make a mistake, he's the one who comes and gets me and puts me back right again. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what David is letting be known is that my God is everything that I. You see, when you know that you have the Lord, you've got something to stand on. You got something protecting you. You got something to bring you back when you get it wrong. Do I got anybody in God's house who understands how good our God is and how he is our sustainer, maintainer, and our deliverer? You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's why David is saying, I am not ashamed. Because he wants it to be known. I know who my God is. And he said, just to take you a little bit further, he says, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. You ever found yourself in a predicament? You ever found yourself in a situation where you felt like you just wanted to give up? You ever found yourself dropping your head and just said, oh, the heck with it? But there was something inside of you that just wouldn't let you quit. You know what that something is? Called God. And because of God being who he is, he continues to remind us what he can do for us. And I want you to know, I don't care what position you hold in the church. You have to understand something. You got to know where your help come from. You got to know who's shielding you. You got to know who is your salvation. You got to know who is stronger than you. And when we wrap that all together, it's nobody but who? God. You see how he's making this clear? Because he wants it to be known that I am only where I am. I still exist only because of God. And that's why he says, I am not ashamed. You see now, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, stay with us. Because look at this next verse. He says in verse number 3, I call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to what? So I shall be saved from my enemies. How you going to call on the Lord if you don't know him? How you going to call on him if you don't praise him? How do you know he's protecting you from your enemies? You see, David wants us to see something, y'all. And I just got to take it a step further. The people of God ought not to have no shame in their praise. The people of God ought not to have no problem praising God. The people of God shouldn't have to wait for somebody to tell them it's time to praise God. Because as long as I got breath in my body, I can praise God. Whether I'm going through hell or high water, I can praise God. Whether I got to do it all by myself, I can praise God. I don't care how I messed up on yesterday, I can still praise God. I don't care where I tripped, what I've done wrong, I can still get up and I can. You see, all God wants to know is that he inhabits the praises of his people. And if you truly praise God, when praises go up, I don't know about you, but I want to put myself in a position to know that I am being what? Blessed. And the way that I can assure that is if I continue to what? Because there's going to be a time in all of our lives you're going to have to call on them. And you know how when folk call you? When the phone ring and you look at it, and if it's not a name of somebody you know, if it just come across 7 digits, you used to say, voicemail. Could you imagine when you called on the name of the Lord and he look at you and say, I don't know you. And then you know how sometimes the phone ring, because our smartphones got a little smarter, and it says, scam likely. We got some folks still trying to pull a scam on God. Because the only time we call on him is when hell break loose. As long as things going good in our lives, we ain't giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise. While it's going good in my life, I'm patting myself on the back. But when it seems like the roof's about to cave in and the walls about to fall, then you're going to call on the Lord. But then it'll get to the Lord and it says, scam. Somebody going to work with me. And the only reason why it says scam is because you ain't going to call on him no other time until you need him. But you know the one thing still about our God? Our God still don't look at you and say, I don't know you. Our God ain't ashamed of you. Our God still blesses us sometimes in spite of our stupidity. Our God blesses us in spite of us not giving him the glory. Don't you know the reason why we were existing, even when we weren't saved, doing everything we thought we was big and bad enough to do, is because God was showing every last one of us grace? And because of his grace and mercy, he showed us enough grace and mercy to get to the point that now that we know him, we now praise him. Amen. We now live for him. And we will say that I'm not ashamed. I don't care how you look at me. I don't care about you, what you know about my yesterday. I'm not ashamed of him. I love him because he first loved me. And I'm going to be reciprocal in this love. I can't give him back all that he gave me. But I'm going to show enough, let it be known through my actions that I love the Lord. It's not just what I say, but it's how I live my life. I want it to be known that I am not ashamed of the one who took me up out to miry clay. I'm not ashamed of the one who took me from nothing and made something out of me. I'm not ashamed of the one who continues to put food on my table. I'm not ashamed of the one who protected me from danger, seen and unseen. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand just how good our God is? I am not ashamed to praise him. I'm not ashamed to thank him, because he brought me a mighty long way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Now check this out. Verse 3, he expresses and tries to define all that God has done. Verse 2, he expresses and tries and defines, or just utilizing terms that the people of his time could recognize. In verse 3, he shares with us, we can call on him, but you should be praising him before you call on him. And he also will save us from my enemies. But then David goes on a little bit further. And what is said here in verses 4 and 5 is letting us know that when it seemed like the breath in his body was about to be taken out, when it was appearing that somebody was about to take his life in a few situations, what he here does is define for us the situations that he was in dire need of the Lord's help. And by being in dire need of the Lord's help, he wants it to be known that what you ought to do when you are in dire need of the Lord's help, if you recognize who he is in 2, and you follow the instructions that he's given you in 3, when you are faced with 4 and 5, what he here tells us how to handle it in verse number 6. Do you want to go take a look with me? Because he says in verse number 6, in my distress, I call upon the Lord. He tells us in verse 3 to call on the Lord, right? You see, you know that there's some folk who call you only when something wrong. And those folk that call you when only there's something wrong, sometimes you look at the phone and you say, decline. Amen. And it just go to voicemail, and you don't even listen to it. And then there's some folk who call you when it's sunny, and they call you during the storm. And when those folk call, you always answer. But you know what? And the sad thing is, and this is where we mess up, we feel that when we get in a storm in our life, because we have not dealt with the Lord before, we just figured out we got to fix it ourselves. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, maybe it's the Lord that put you in the storm. And he's waiting to hear from you. More times than not, it's not that the Lord put you in the storm. It's just that the Lord didn't get in the way of you wanting to go into the storm, because you thought that it was grass was greener on that side. But what you didn't realize, all they did was take some spray paint, green paint, and just paint the dirt green. And when you started stepping on it, it wasn't grass. It was just nothing but dirt that was but sprayed over and made it look green. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to be careful about us looking at everything else and thinking it's better. So what he is telling us in verse number 6 is that in my distress, I called upon the Lord. In my distress, I called upon him. But all the times, I'm calling him. Because in verse 3, he says, I call. He says in verse 3, right? I will call upon the Lord. In verse 4, in verse 6, he says, in my distress, I called him. You see, so what he is letting you know is that he is not a fair weather Christian. He's not a fair weather worshiper of God. He is letting you know that I call on him. I can call him in the morning. I can call him in the middle Oh, somebody working with me. You see, the thing is, because if folk call you in the morning, you always expect that call. If they call you and wake you up in the middle of the night, what you going to do? You're going to answer. Because these are folk who always talk to you. So what David is saying to all of us, we got to learn how to have a conversation with God. Not just during bad times. Let's learn to converse with the one who makes us, who allows us to have life each and every day. Let us converse with the one who put food on our table. Let us converse with the one that keeps us in our right minds. Let us converse with the one that gives us good health. Let us converse with the one who continues to do all things and do all things well for us. You see, my brothers and my sisters, David is letting you know, I will call on the Lord. And then he says, in my distress, I called him. Right? He says, to my God, I cried for help from his temple. What did he do? He heard my voice and my cry to him reached his ears. Do you see it? There are some folk who wonder, Lord, did you hear me? But if you've been praising him and calling on him during all times, you don't have to wonder, Lord, do you hear me? Just say, Lord, I'm going to wait upon you. Because as I wait on you, Lord, I'm going to be still and know that you are God and you are God all by yourself. Lord, I'm going to wait upon you because I know that you're going to bring me through whatever I'm dealing with. Lord, I'm going to trust you because I know that, Lord, I've tried everything else and all the other stuff I trusted in. Guess what? It didn't pan out. But when I put my trust in you, Lord, I want you to know you were there with me through thick and through thin. Lord, I knew I could always call on you. Why? Because when I came to you, I was tattered, I was battered. I was toe up from the flow up. I was lost. I was confused. I was frustrated. I was some of this. I was some of that. And through me coming to you, Lord, you looked right at me, stretched your arms wide, and said, come on. And by you accepting me the way that I was, Lord, that's why I am forever grateful. And that's why David is letting us know to substantiate what he said in verse number one. He said to the Lord, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And what he does in verses 2-6 is let us know why he loves God. Now, I want you to know, if I ask you to write down why you love God, would you have a whole lot to write? Or would it just be one sentence? But when you know how good God is, you realize that you will probably get a hand cramp before you finish writing. Why? Because I'm not ashamed to praise God. I'm not ashamed to let folk know I love him. I'm not ashamed to praise his holy name. Because where would I be if I didn't have the Lord? Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got some folk in God's house who are not ashamed to praise him? Do I got folk in God's house who know that they need to love the Lord? Do I have folk in God's house who understands he's brought me through all that I've dealt with in this life? So I ain't gonna have no shame. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna thank him. I'm gonna magnify his holy name. Because where would I be if I did not have Jesus? Thank you, Lord. You see, all God wants to know, do you love him? Your love ain't words. Your love ought to be actions. David had to put it in words just so others could see. But they also can see his history with God. And we saw his history. We saw the peaks. We saw the valleys. But through it all, God was right there with him. That's why he says, I ain't got no shame in letting it be known. I'm the king of Israel, that's right. But I want you to know, I love you, O Lord, my strength. You see, my brothers and my sisters, how many of us have no shame in talking about our relationship with God? Because we realize we would not be the men and women that we are if it had not been for the Lord who had been there with us through what? Thick and through thin. You see, that's how come I ain't have no shame in letting folk know I love the Lord. And I am who I am because God has blessed me. I am who I am because he brought me a mighty long way. I am who I am because it's nobody but the Lord who is able to bring us through all this and that in our lives. I want you to understand today, my brothers and my sisters, when you look at how good our God is, I'm here to tell you I have no shame because where would I be if it had not been for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Shame. I ain't gonna be ashamed in here. I ain't gonna be ashamed out there. And I want you to know some folk who know your past. How they know all that stuff about you? They just got off an exit a little earlier than me. Are you following me? So what I'm saying today to you, my brother and my sister, there is not anyone in God's house who's perfect. And while we're in this Lenten season, it is important for us to see the significance of what God has done for us. You see, because if the Lord had shame, there never would have been a cross. It's because he saw no shame in sending his son to be obedient to the end. It created an opportunity for you and I. And also to let us know if God didn't shame us, then we ought not to shame one another. If God didn't shame us, then that means that he's saying that I'm all right. I'm not perfect. I don't dot all my I's all the time. I don't cross all my T's all the time. But I'm dotting a whole lot more I's and I'm crossing a whole lot more T's. Are you working with me? All God wants us to do is strive each and every day to be better today than I was on. I want us to forget about past. The past needs to stay right where it is. It done passed me by. So let it stay by pass. It stays there. Let us from this point forward, no matter how somebody in this church might have stepped on your foot. I'm speaking that more metaphorically, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't care how they stepped on your foot on yesterday. Let us move forward today. Because as long as you're thinking about them stepping on your foot, that means you're always going to keep your foot. as long as you're worrying about them, how they stepped on your foot, you're always going to be moving your feet. And as long as I'm doing this, where am I going? Because every time I move my feet, where I move my feet? What direction am I going? Because I'm concerned about keeping my feet out, especially when I see them. Because if I see them, there's a good chance they're going to step on my foot. So I got to, every time I got to move my foot back, what direction am I going? And then also I start thinking about my own shame. I think about my own mistakes. I think about my own shortcomings. But what I'm here to tell you is that the devil is a liar. I have been delivered. I've been healed. I've been set free. The Lord has done great things with me. I will not go backwards, but I am going to go forward. Do I got any folk in God's house who are ready to move forward? Do I got any folk in God's house who's not going to sit there and give a lot of attention to yesterday, but look ahead? Because my God that I serve wants me to go forward looking to him for help and guidance. I am not ashamed. And with the project we got going on, we can't be ashamed. Why would God prepare this for us if he saw shame in us? I'm going to let that sink in. Why would he look to move us forward if he wants to focus on our past? He's doing what he's doing to get us to not focus on, but move forward in. We got to move forward and not let things hold us back. I'm not ashamed to let it be known I love him. I'm not ashamed to let others know how good he is. And if he can be good to me, he will sure be good to you. I'm not ashamed to tell folk what you see right now is a rough diamond that God has been sanding and working on. But right now, when God looks at you, no matter how messed up you think you are a diamond in the rough. And God can take any kind of diamond and he can make a beautiful thing out of it. Isn't that what he's doing with us? Because wasn't there some folk that wanted to just throw us away? Wasn't there some folk who couldn't see no good in us? But I am so grateful that the Lord saw past all my faults. And he saw my need. Because he loves me. And I'm going to let him know how much I love him. And how I live my life. Because I am not